Welcome to Ask the Chief Information Officer on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Every week, Federal News Radio interviews the CIOs of federal agencies about the latest directives, IT challenges, and successes. Now here's your host, Jason Miller.
My special guest today is Chuck Riddle, the Government Printing Office's Chief Information Officer. Chuck, thank you so much for taking the time to join us.
Jason, good to be with you.
Well, it's been just about a year now that you've been the CIO at the GPO. How big of a change has it been coming over from the Agriculture Department's Food and Safety Inspection Service?
It was definitely a change, but a good one. And looking back, I've got no regrets. Sometimes it seems longer than a year, but I think that's partly because when I came to GPO, I didn't know anyone here. And that was the first time since college, getting a job out of college, that I actually went to a place that had no connections whatsoever. So it's definitely been a change. GPO is obviously smaller than food safety. We've got less than 2,000 employees here at GPO, whereas at FSIS, Food Safety Inspection Service, we had nearly 10,000. And almost all of GPO's employees are here in D.C., whereas at FSIS, most of them were out in the field. So it's definitely been different, but a good change.
What attracted you to GPO?
Well, to be honest with you, at first, it was really the opportunity to be the CIO. That was the next progression in my career, something that I've been working towards. But once I found GPO, I was, you know, right away attracted to the historical significance of this place. You know, the fact that we've been around since 1861, when Lincoln was first inaugurated, was pretty amazing and sort of humbling when I came here. And then to find out the average tenure of the employees at GPO, a lot of them have been here a long time. So it's interesting and amazing to see the dedication that the people have to GPO.
Now, did you have any kind of background in printing and the printing world? And I know that GPO is much bigger than just printing anymore, but that's what people think of because obviously the name, Government Printing Office.
No, I really had no background in printing.
Okay, I think that's fascinating. You end up learning kind of a whole new sector. But what I've heard many times is that technology is technology and you still, the wires and the routers and the switches and the computers all do the same thing no matter where you're at. It's just how they help the mission. Was that the big difference?
That's really true. I mean, it's important to understand how the mission is different. That's for certain. But at the end of the day, a lot of the IT projects are still the same. As a matter of fact, a lot of the technologies and tools that we use are similar. So it was that the technology learning curve was not as steep. It was the understanding of the printing side of the business that was a little bit of a change for me.
And what did you do to go around to kind of learn that printing side? Did you spend time with the printers, with the people who do the digital printing, deal with all the different aspects of GPO's mission?
Absolutely. The first 90 days I was here, I told everyone, I'm just going to listen and be in listening mode, so don't expect too many decisions. I went around to each of the business units, talked to them, tried to understand what they did, and did a lot of touring and going from place to place. In the first year, I went to most of our locations out in the field just to understand how things worked out in Pueblo, Colorado, and Stennis, Mississippi. So it was good to see things firsthand like that, just to understand, you know, what's unique about those offices and how they support the mission.
What was the most interesting thing you saw when you did that tour?
I'd say going down to our facility down in Stennis, Mississippi was really interesting to see. That's our backup facility, and to be able to go down there and see the secure production facility in Mississippi was pretty amazing, because we had the capability to fail over to that and continue to produce secure credentials down there without really experiencing much of a hiccup. So that was pretty amazing to see firsthand.
It's such a wide, varying mission. I mean, a lot of people, as I said, you know, think of GPOs as the people who process paper, and it's so much different. I mean, the passport, the secure ID business that GPO has gotten to recently, I mean, that's playing such a big role. And now all the digital pieces, I mean, where do you feel like you really can jump in and really make a difference right now in that first year?
That's a great question. Technology is definitely changing everything. And I think, personally, I think that the mission for GPO hasn't changed so much. It's how we do our mission that's really changing. And technology is a game changer there. So rather than having to print everything and bind and produce things like that, we're now able to do things electronically. And my goal as CIO is to really figure out ways to deliver those electronic documents to anywhere, anytime, any place, so that it complements printing, because I don't think printing is ever going to completely go away. But the digital element definitely has the ability to get information out there in lightning speed versus what we've done in the past.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of the I still have to read my newspapers each morning and Sundays I get to. And I know that I'm on the other end of the spectrum compared to most people, but I would agree with you that I think the paper aspect of it, people still like paper. There's still something about paper that I think, you know, it's been hundreds of years that we've had the printing press, you know, 400 or 500 years, so I think people are still kind of used to it. Give me a sense of the CIO. Do you work both strategic area in the operations area? Do you tend to lean one way or the other? Give me a sense of where you, in terms of your day-to-day work.
Yes to all of the above. But I'd say that, you know, that was one of the changes, really, in coming over from chief technology officer to CIO, my scope of responsibility is much wider. You know, it's not just about the technology, but it's about policy, personnel, and strategic, you know, views of where we're going to go. So it's definitely a much wider view. So I'd say the first year has been more internally focused, you know, focusing on operations, trying to make things as efficient as possible. But from day one, it's definitely also been looking at how to position GPO strategically, because we talk about how GPO really is the digital forefront for the government. So it's been a balance of both. I hope, you know, my second year and beyond to definitely start get more on the strategic end of things and figure out ways to forward our mission electronically like that.
Give me a sense of your background before, obviously GPO, the Food Safety Inspection Service. Where else have you worked in government or outside of government?
I started my career actually out of college as a legislative correspondent on Capitol Hill. That didn't last very long because the member that I went to work for lost his reelection shortly after I started. I think I was a bad luck charm. But right after that, I went to work for several different startup technology companies and spent most of the 90s with several technology-related companies in the private sector. My first government job after that wasn't until food safety, you know, back in the mid-2000s. Private sector-wise, though, I was also with Booz Allen Hamilton as a federal consultant. So I'd say more of my experience so far in my career has been on the private sector side than on the government side. But it's all really helped prepare me, I think, well to do the job that I'm doing now. You know, GPO is also different in the sense that we really run more like a business than most federal agencies. So having that private sector experience was definitely useful to come here.
I'd say that's going to, in the long term, also give you that sense of, you know, how government works a little bit, and you obviously know how private sector works. So bringing those two things together is definitely going to be helpful. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to jump into some of those priorities you're trying to accomplish over at GPO. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, and my special guest today is Chuck Riddle, the Government Printing Office's Chief Information Officer.
Disabled American Veterans is dedicated to one single purpose: building better lives for America's disabled veterans. May 18th through the 20th, in the company of the vintage B-25 Mitchell Bomber, DAV brings its message of support for veterans to the Joint Base Andrews Air Show. In its modern-day mission with DAV, the B-25 serves as a reminder of the sacrifices veterans make for freedom. Meet the DAV flight team with the B-25 at the Joint Base Andrews Air Show.
Welcome back. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, and my special guest today is Chuck Riddle, the Government Printing Office's Chief Information Officer. Now, Chuck, before break, we talked a lot about your background, how you ended up at GPO, coming from the Food Safety Inspection Service. Give me a sense now, you've been here a year. What are your priorities? What are you hoping to get done now over the next 6 or 9 months?
Yeah, definitely have a long list of things I'd like to get done. We're working on things that varied from deploying a regional phone system upgrade to VoIP, voice over IP, to our regional offices. Server virtualization and data center consolidation are definitely some big infrastructure items. But one of the things I'm most excited about is the potential for desktop virtualization. Being able to do thin clients, you know, for our user community out there is a huge priority to try to really get that started this year. Mobile device management and mobile app development are also right there in the mix as well, because as I mentioned before, it's all about trying to get information out there as quickly as possible, both for our employees as well as for the public.
All right, so a couple things that fall right in line with the administration's priorities, obviously server virtualization and data center consolidation, but I'm going to start with VoIP. Now, that's something that we've heard a lot about over the years. Give me a sense of, what are you guys in the old PBX type switches now, and then you're trying to move to voice over IP, or are you in somewhere in between?
Well, it's a little bit in between. A few years ago, we upgraded our internal headquarters system to VoIP. So this is just the next extension to go out to the analog PBX lines out in the field to upgrade those, to have them on the same system as we have here in Washington, so that we can have the same features and functions out there, as well as achieve the same cost savings that we saw here at headquarters.
Now, with VoIP, it's always very interesting because the sound quality is better. You can do more like video conferencing, things like that. Do you expect more functionality to go out to those field offices that you already have internally at headquarters?
Absolutely. As well as if you're at an office, let's say in San Francisco, the phone system is going to be the same as what we have here in DC. So rather than having to figure out, you know, 14 different systems, you know, once you've understood one, you can do the same thing at any phone system out there. So standardization is going to help out a lot, I think, with the employees' experience of how to use those tools.
And what about video teleconferencing and things like that? Do you foresee having something, you know, at the desk so people can do, you know, video teleconferencing?
We are looking at that, and we offer that right now with some conferencing capabilities already. But definitely once we upgrade all the offices to the same system, it certainly gives us some economies of scale to do that, you know, at the desktop level as well.
Now let me move over to to server virtualization, data center consolidation, another, as I mentioned, a big priority for this the Obama administration. Where are you on that path to data center consolidation and server virtualization? Have you done a lot of times I hear from CIOs say, oh, we're about 80% complete on server virtualization and we've closed, you know, three of are seven data centers or something like that. Are you that far down or are you just at the beginning stages?
It's a little bit of a mix. On the server virtualization side, we're probably about 40% there. Our target ratio is 10 to 1, 10 virtual machines towards one physical. So we're definitely making progress there, but not as quickly as I would like. On the data center consolidation side, we have some more work to do there. You know, we have a data center here in this old GPO building that we're looking to consolidate and upgrade, and we want to make sure that, you know, we get that done sometime in FY13.
Now, why is the server virtualization taking longer? Is it just that's what it is? It just takes time, or is there something more complicated?
It definitely takes time to do it correctly because we don't want to disrupt, you know, the user community out there in virtualizing, you know, their applications and getting things to run on that environment. I'd say the challenge for us has been, at the same time as we're rolling those things out, we also have to figure out how to handle a lot of the legacy applications that may not play as well or work as well in the updated environment. So we're very cautious with how we do that so we don't break things along the way.
Just turn them off, right? Is that what you do?
The old scream test? Yeah, sometimes that's okay, but most of the time not.
I think you get your internal customers pretty mad at you if you just start turning things off. So.
Yeah, I probably wouldn't be here very long if I did that very much.
You know, I'm not a CIO, but let me tell you. The other thing you talked about is desktop virtualization, which actually plays very well into this whole idea of data and server virtualization, data center consolidation. A lot of agencies are looking down that path of desktop virtualization. How are you guys going to thin clients? I always think it's kind of funny when I hear thin clients because it's something that you heard about in the 1990s and the early 2000s, and now it's kind of what's old is new again.
It is funny how things go full circle because it's going more towards a terminal environment, you know, like we had back in the 80s. So desktop virtualization, I think, is a game changer because by having thin client on user PCs, you know, we're not as tied to having to upgrade those PCs every 2 or 3 years. You know, as long as we can get a browser and a network connection, we can deliver the latest and greatest technology to the desktop and not have to worry so much about the cost associated with updating the desktops, you know, every few years. Not to mention the efficiencies you gain with patching and making sure that the virus protection are up to date. You know, if we can do that on the back end, on the virtual side, it immediately updates everything to the user side, and it just makes things so much more efficient. Not to mention the fact that one of the most exciting things is that once we do that, the device won't be nearly as important as it was in the past. Whether it's a tablet or a smartphone or a laptop or a employee's machine at home, we'll be able to deliver that experience to any machine, which I think is really exciting.
How close are you to desktop virtualization? Are you just in that planning stage, or do you maybe have some pilots planned?
We are actively piloting it now. So I would say by the end of this year, we'll be well on our way towards getting that done for all of the GPO user community.
And can you give me a sense of that pilot?
We're using Citrix technology, what's called the Zen app, the Zen desktop. So we've got, I'd say, maybe 50 users that are actively piloting that, and we're trying to pilot it on, you know, a multitude of different types of devices out there. So I definitely think that by the end of the year, we'll be well on our way towards getting that done for GPO's users. And like I said, I that's one thing that really gets me excited because I think that could really revolutionize how we do business here.
Do you have a sense of cost savings or efficiency savings or even an estimate yet?
I'm hesitant to give you cost savings estimates, but I know that we will save money by doing that. I just don't really want to quantify it just yet. We have some pretty good ideas, but nothing that I really want to commit to.
All right, well, maybe something to follow up with you once you kind of go into full production mode. I think along those same lines, you mentioned mobile device management, app development for obviously employees and the general public. That's all related back, at least internally, to that desktop virtualization, because as you said, if you can virtualize your desktop, it doesn't matter what device you're using. So give me a sense how mobile device fits into all of this.
Like most agencies, I think we're trying to look at things like bring your own device and, you know, the proliferation of iPads and iPhones and different things in the marketplace. You know, the consumerization of IT is definitely keeping CIOs on their toes, and I don't think GPO is any exception to that. So how to support those shorter lead times efficiently and securely is definitely a challenge. Mobile device management is something that we have some things in place now to manage the devices we have out there, and we're just trying to make sure that whatever we do in a secure way and we can support it and not have to roll it back later and take it away. But again, I think with the mobile people, device management piece. You know, all things are being considered right now. We haven't really ruled anything out yet, but those are definitely things that you want to get it right before you try to roll it out to all of the employees.
Give me a sense of, are you doing pilots? What are you doing around mobile device? Because as you mentioned, the BYOD, everyone's very interested in that as well.
On that end of things, we're definitely doing some very limited pilots just to make sure that we can do it securely. And then once we pilot it and figure out how we're going to support it, then we go back and look at the policy side of things to figure out how we want to roll it out there to the users. It's definitely something that you have to be careful with. And I know that a lot of the IT community is looking at BlackBerry and what might happen with BlackBerry and trying to make sure we have alternatives to that should BlackBerry's become less than the preferred, the government handheld device out there, because I think some changes are probably in the works and we just want to make sure that we're ready for that.
I know that just, again, talking to lots of different CIOs, people around government, there's that big push for those tablets and smartphones to be used every day. And people get tired of carrying, you know, 2 and 3 devices that the government issues them. It's definitely a challenge that lots of people are facing. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit about one priority you didn't mention, but I'm sure it's right near top of your list. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, and my special guest today is Chuck Riddle, the Government Printing Office's Chief Information Officer.
Join IHEPA and NFL greats Brian Mitchell, Roy Jefferson, Brig Owens, and the voice of the Redskins, Larry Michael, for the IHEPA Metro Golf Classic, benefiting Fisher House on May 23rd at Westfields Golf Club in Clifton, Virginia. The incredible Dennis Walters Golf Show is also featured as part of this charity event. Register at ahepagolf.com. That's ahepagolf.com. And join IHEPA in support of a wonderful cause, the Fisher House.
Welcome back. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, and my special guest today is Chuck Riddle, the Government Printing Office's Chief Information Officer. Now, Chuck, before break, we talked a lot about your priorities. We talked about data center consolidation, moving to VoIP out in the field. We also talked about even desktop virtualization, a big priority. But one thing I didn't hear you mention was the FDSIS program, and that's been a big priority across GAO for a number of years. You guys moved the Federal Register and other sites over to use or to run on FDSIS just in March, so about a couple months ago now. Give me a sense of how that went, any surprises or challenges, and give us a sense of what's coming next for FDSIS.
There really were no surprises, thankfully, with the switchover. We were very thorough in preparing for the change, and I think things went really well. There were no shockers there. And, you know, we went into GPO access archive-only mode back in November, and as soon as we flipped the switch and did that, FDSIS traffic went up about 500% compared to a year ago. So we got more traffic in one day on FDSIS than we had in the entire week of the year before. So it was a huge increase in traffic for FDSIS once we flipped the switch and made it the primary system. As far as what we're looking at doing, there's been huge growth in the addition of high-profile content and new functionality that we've done with FDSIS. We put a lot of different content out there that is pretty interesting. We released the Nixon Papers, which had about a 700% spike in traffic once we did that. And, you know, we're trying to make sure that GPO's FDSIS stays as the digital platform for any government information out there. So we're looking at things to make that more friendly towards mobile devices, because right now it's more of a desktop browser-based thing. We're trying to increase the functionality so that whether you're on an iPad or tablet device, you can get the same experience there as efficiently as you can right now on the desktop.
That's an incredible growth. I mean, as you said, 500% increase just over in a short course of time. How did you guys prepare for that? Because we heard all about, for instance, NARA, and I know it's, you know, not to compare you guys to NARA, but they had a big trouble when they released the 1940 census data. They you know, their servers crashed. How did you guys prepare for that, the interest there?
Lots of planning and running things in a parallel state for as long as we possibly could, as well as the fact that we make use out of a content delivery network to help offset some of the spikes in traffic, so that we know that if there is a huge demand for traffic, we're not going to be brought to our knees by that spike in demand. So I think thorough planning was probably the key to making sure that we could to do that without any problems.
I'll tell you, I like the old Federal Register, the way it was laid out. I was one of the ones who said, don't change it. It's I like the way it is. The new one, I've gotten used to it fairly quickly, and I have to tell you, you guys did a nice job of changing it, but not making it more complicated than it needs to be. What kind of reaction are you getting around that specific change to the Federal Register?
It's been predominantly positive. You know, we have a very varied user community out there. We have a huge library community out there that's very interested in how we do things. So balancing that with the public, who also wants to get information out of FTCIS, is sort of a challenge sometimes. But, you know, testing things and having user groups where we go out and pilot ideas before we roll it out, I think has helped to make sure that we don't make any changes that people, you know, would be really upset with, and trying to focus on making it more efficient and not necessarily just changing it just for the sake of, you know, refreshing it. I'm trying to make sure we're delivering things that people want. But, you know, we've seen, as I mentioned, just a huge uptick in traffic, and we've got close to 750,000 titles, documents out there on FTCIS for download. And I think it's a pretty unique product to be able to authenticate those documents rather than, you know, users searching for them on Google. With FTCIS, you can go to it and make sure that not only are you getting the document, you're getting the verified, authenticated document. That's pretty unique out there in the age of the internet search.
And I think that's something that the government has been looking to do for quite a while, is to say, listen, you can maybe find this through other search engines, but we can tell you it's authentic versus somebody else who copies it or links to it or something that you're not really sure where this is coming from or who you're going. Is there a specific way you're kind of adding that digital signature, that digital hash mark to it?
We use a way to authenticate it using a suite of Adobe tools, and every document that's authenticated has the GPO Eagle on it to validate that it's authentic and that it's not been altered in any way. And I think that alone is a huge benefit towards providing that information out there, because, like you said, you can find it anywhere, but to know that it's the exact document that you're looking for and it's authenticated to be such is pretty unique. You know, things like the FY13 budget, being able to upload that and have users understand it's not a copy or a changed bit of information, but it's the real thing from the president's office, I think is pretty unique and pretty trusted out there in the user community.
I wanted to ask you real quick. You mentioned about the future of FTCIS, looking at functionality where, you know, tablets or other mobile devices. Any time frame around that? Do you foresee, you know, this later this year to have some mobile apps out?
We've already rolled out a couple of mobile apps, the member guide as well as the budget app. We definitely have a few more in the pipeline, and you're probably going to see a pretty steady stream of those released from GPO over the coming months. I'd say a few more in the summertime, and then something for FTCIS probably towards the end of the year, the mobile version of FTCIS. So mobile apps are definitely something that, because GPO is so public-facing, it's definitely something that we're looking to be able to deliver out there, because we know that there's a demand for it. Our focus so far has been on delivering content for mobile devices rather than focusing on downloadable apps. But that's something else that we're looking to change. Somewhere towards the end of the year, we plan to release some downloadable, whether it's iPhone or Droid apps that you can actually run and download on your device rather than just a mobile web page. But so far, our focus has been on trying to deliver things in a mobile-friendly format. And I think it's worked well, because that way it's runnable in any device rather than just, let's say, choosing an iPad app and then not having a Droid app to go with that. You definitely want to make sure that you get it out there that's usable in any format.
How do you deal with that issue of taking documents and data and make it so it can appear on the mobile device easily enough compared to on your desktop? I mean, is that a big difference, or is it just a matter of, to simplify it, make your screen smaller?
You know, it's definitely a difference. And I think, again, that's where GPO's huge experience with working with the library community and really understanding how to format data has been really helpful towards that. Because, you know, GPO's role has not always just been as the printing office, but also as publishing. So being able to take data and structure it in such a way that it's sized correctly towards any media, I think doing that in the past on paper has lent itself well to being able to do that electronically.
Okay, because I think as a lot of agencies, again, are probably struggling with this to a certain extent, because the focus has been just on the desktop, and to switch it to the mobile device, it's not always an easy switch. Let me jump over to another subject area, cybersecurity. You can't talk to a CIO like yourself without mentioning cybersecurity. There was a recent Inspector General report from GPO that said there's some problems with GPO's IT security controls, mm-hmm. such as improving, you know, access controls. It takes too long for employees who are no longer longer employed off the network. Also, you had some issues of implementing NIST standards. Give me a sense of what steps you're taking kind of to address some of those problems that the IG pointed out.
Well, IT security is always a moving target, and trying to make sure that you're doing things as efficiently as you can is definitely a focus for us. So as far as some of those things that you mentioned, making sure that when users leave GPO, that we're updating the access controls to take those people off the network. That's something that we've really focused on, and we make that a daily thing. We get reports from human capital on a daily basis to make sure that those things are taken care of promptly. So just, looking at management controls and making sure that you're checking those things and double-checking those things on a consistent basis, I think has been a focus to help to resolve some of the issues that were mentioned there. With respect to the NIST controls, we actually deployed a system this past year called the Agilliance Risk Vision system to help ensure that any high-impact security controls are assessed and that we can document those findings and take corrective actions pretty promptly. So I feel really good about our security efforts to make sure that we're finding issues, dealing with those issues, and resolving them in as prompt a manner as we can.
Give me a little bit more details about that risk vision system, because, again, this is something every agency struggles with. If you guys have found maybe a tool that makes things a little bit easier, obviously agencies, others will be interested.
That tool allows us to go out and basically scan and look for vulnerabilities in addition to just having security staff do that. So it, in an automated way, it can go out and look for loopholes or for issues and then report back the findings. Sort of like a discovery tool, but on the security view side of things. So that combined with the expertise we have in IT security is a pretty good way to tackle that challenge, I think.
Now, we're almost out of time, unfortunately. So let me, before I let you go, a lot of vendors do listen to the show and I always like to ask the question about, give you a chance to talk directly to the vendors. What should they know about working with GPO with your office? Give me a sense of, do you like meetings? Do you like emails? Or do you have someone on your staff that handles that? What kind of message do you have for vendors?
We're always interested in hearing about the latest technologies that are out there. But I'd say, like most IT organizations, we're being tasked with doing more with less. So it's not as if we have, unlimited resources to do those things. So I would say to vendors, sharpen your pencils. We're happy to talk to you. But, budgets are tight. And we're definitely having to really, guard things closely like that. So we're more than happy to talk. But at the end of the day, we're trying to do things the most efficient way we can.
And what's your preference? Do you meet with vendors kind of whenever something comes up that you find interesting? Do you have a certain day of the month that you say, okay, every third Thursday, I'm going to X out my day and only meet with vendors? Or do you prefer you kind of get emails and you pass it off to people on your staff who are most appropriate?
That's a good question. I'd say typically I'll get an email, and then if it's something of interest, I'll pass it out to the division director that handles that specifically. Unless it's something that we have particular interest in, where sometimes we'll reach out to a vendor and ask them to come in and talk to us about their capabilities. So I'd say first, I'll task it out to somebody if it's something of interest to us, and we'll get in touch with that vendor. We don't necessarily set aside vendor days of the month to handle that, just because that can be pretty time consuming.
Very true. And I think there's a lot of vendors who'd be interested in working with you guys. Well, we are unfortunately out of time. This has been a great learning experience. So this is, very much appreciate your time. You've been listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, and my special guest today is Chuck Riddle, the Government Printing Office's Chief Information Officer. Chuck, thank you so much for taking the time to join us.
Thanks, Jason. I appreciate it.
You've been listening to Ask the Chief Information Officer on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear it in its entirety on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Ask the CIO, only on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, WFED, your source for federal news now.
August 15th, my joints ache. Today I can hardly move. I need some answers.
September 3rd, I'm tired all the time. What's going on?
June 8th, I woke up with a rash on my face. I want to know why.
For answers, ask your doctor the right question. Could I have lupus? For answers, for support, for hope, visit couldihavelupus.gov or call 1-800-994-9662. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Office on Women's Health and the Ad Council.
Listen each week for Tech Tuesday on Federal News Radio. Every Tuesday, we zero in on how technology inspires innovation. Tuesday mornings at 11, it's Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy, the latest on products that help bring policy to life. Then Tuesday afternoons at 12:30, join Federal News Radio's Jason Miller for Ask the CIO. Hear from the top of the food chain on how your agency is using technology today. Tech Tuesday, only on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.